Now, Evangelist Winston Time.
Thank you. My subject is entitled, The Purpose of the Ages. In Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 10 and 11, we find these words, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, my friends, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not an afterthought. God's plan and purpose was executed by Christ Jesus our Lord when he established the church. Look at some magnificent building, and you see the wisdom of the architect. Look at the church of the New Testament, the church that Jesus established, and you see the manifold wisdom of God. The distinctiveness of the church should never be called in question. The church of Christ is a glorious church, worthy of praise and honor extended by common consent. In this sermon, I will talk about the descriptive titles of the church. Each title will serve to point up a particular phase of what the Lord called his church, Matthew 16, chapter, verses 13 through 20. The Greek word translated church in the New Testament meant an assembly or congregation of people. The character or purpose of the assembly is learned from descriptive titles. The church is the kingdom of God. Simon said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew the 16th chapter, verses 16 through 19. In one verse of the passage under examination, Jesus speaks of the church, and in the next verse, he calls the church the kingdom of heaven. My church expresses the called out feature of the Lord's people. Kingdom of heaven is a designation of the church and is meant to express the government feature of it. The people of God, called by the gospel, are to be governed. Kingdom means authority and dominion. Kingdom of heaven means the divine government of God's people. The authority and dominion are of heaven. The Christians at Colossae were saints and faithful brethren in Christ. They were members of the church at Colossae, and they were in the kingdom of God. They had been delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul's statement is both concise and conclusive. Now it is obvious that the church is the kingdom of God. The church is the house of God. The phrase house of God describes another very important feature of the Lord's church. The church of God is a family. from 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter, and verse 15, we take these words, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." It is imperative that men know how to behave or carry themselves in the family of God. The man who pursues a life of unrestricted freedom is following the road that leads to destruction. Man is a sphere of influence, but it is in the family of God that he exerts his greatest influence for good. The family of God is a place for fellowship. Man was made for fellowship. He was never made to stand alone. He needs the society of God's people. The writer of Hebrews said, "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing nigh." Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 25. Nothing is plainer in the teaching of the Word of God than this, that His people need each other. Jesus is a great priest over the house of God. His priesthood is unchangeable because He abideth forever. Jesus, our great high priest, His priesthood unchangeable, is able to say to the uttermost, "Them that draw near unto God through Him," seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, it is through unending intercession by our merciful high priest that we have boldness to draw near unto the throne of God's grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need. Hebrews the 4th chapter and verse 16. In Hebrews the 10th chapter, verses 21 and 22, we find these words, "And having a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." The Christians, who are all priests, were purified by the blood of Jesus, and they were baptized into Christ. The Apostle Paul himself said that when he was baptized, he was buried. He declared, "We were buried with him by baptism." Romans the 6th chapter and verse 4. The church is the body of Christ. This name brings to the forefront the idea of relationship. The intimacy of the relationship of all the members of the body is expressed by the Apostle Paul. He said, "For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another." Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. In this verse, we have a familiar illustration of the church. The apostle compares the natural body with the body of Christ. The human body is composed of many members, and it is obvious that they are all alike necessary. So with the church. It is composed of many members, and they too are all alike necessary. So intimate is the relation of the members of the body of Christ one to another, that the Apostle Paul declared there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Our one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 25 to 26. This is the truth expressed by that great servant of God, the Apostle Paul, in the words which he used to instruct the Corinthians. For in one spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and were all made to drink of one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12th chapter, verse 13. People talk about becoming church members. In the second chapter of Acts, and the 47th verse, we take these words, "And the Lord added to them day by day those that were saved." It follows from what we have said that the church, the body of Christ, is the divine institution to which the Lord adds people when they are saved. Some teach that being saved and becoming church members are two different processes. However, the Lord adds to His church those that are saved. The church is the realm of the saved. Jesus is the world's only Savior, but He is the Savior of the body. Inspiration reveals that the church is necessary in the salvation of the soul. The Apostle Paul declared, "Christ also is the head of the church, being Himself the Savior of the body." Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 23. Will you obey the gospel and let the Lord add you to His church? God bless you, my friend.